I'm going to talk to you about tonight about defeating discouragement. I was thinking about Mary there. I remember a few years back, it's been a while, Mary faced cancer. And God got you through that one, Mary. And we got the same God. He can get you through this one too, Mary. He can get you through it. We're going to pray you through it too, Mary. I promise you. With all my heart, we're going to pray you through this. Amen? Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. I want to talk to you about defeating discouragement. Give you some thoughts about that tonight. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. That's in chapter 18. Man, he killed them all. I love it. Amen. Remember he defeated them up there? And God came down and burned up the sacrifice. He said, sick them, boys. Amen. 450 prophets of Baal, they got it. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also. And he, by the way, he did. He let him. She got ate by the dogs. Remember? I'm really pumped up, Mark. I really am. If I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow. About this time, in other words, I'm going to kill you like you killed them. And when he saw that, he rose and went for his life. I tell you, I'm always more afraid of women than I am men. Elijah and I had something in common there. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And he's having a pity party there. And, oh, God, would you just kill me? I think some of us have done that, thought that, and I want to talk to you about Elijah and his discouragement today. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart I can be an encouragement to people. Again, Father, I do pray that you would help our country to come back to you. And I pray, dear God, that you'll be with my folk. And, Lord, I think about Mary, dear God, and I just pray that you would come down and touch her body. And I just pray that she'll have healing all through her body. And, Lord, I just pray that you'll keep her healthy and keep her going, Lord. Don't let nothing happen to her. And, Lord, I pray for others that were mentioned and, Lord, grace, and then we pray for Diane, Lord, and all our folks that are going through trials right now. Lord, help each one. Bless us tonight. Lord, you gave me this thought, and I pray it can be a blessing as we teach the Word of God and preach it tonight. Thank you for Brother Bob and June being part of Bethel now, Lord. We're so glad they've moved here, and I just pray you'll bless their life here, and may we be an encouragement to them, and I know they're going to be a blessing to us. And we'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. There's a saying, what a difference a day can make. How many ever heard that? What a difference a day can make. And I put down, wow, what a difference one day can make. Elijah went from, and when you're in chapter 18, Rod, Elijah's on Mount Carmel. Bobby, he just had a great victory. He just had a great triumph. And he went from victory and triumph to the next time, in the next chapter, he's running for his life. Wow! What a flip-flop. What a north and south. What a positive and a negative. I mean, one day he's on the mountaintop, the next day he's in the lowest valley. How many of you ever had those days? Man, one day's great, the next day, oh my lands, you know? Think about Elijah went from being on top of the mountain with great victory and triumph, to total discouragement, even to the point in verse 4 where he asked God to kill him. Oh, man. That's how fast discouragement can come into our life. How many of you ever been real happy and all of a sudden it changed? Discouragement can come to us real quickly. The word discouragement means, literally means to take away or lose courage. Discouragement means we face life with fear instead of faith. When we start facing life with fear instead of faith, you're going to get discouraged. Discouragement means when we face life with worry instead of wonder what God can do. Discouragement means when we face life with cowardice instead of courage. Satan knows if he can drive a wedge of discouragement between us and the Lord, he can cause us discouragement. I'm going to give you a few thoughts about the causes and the cure for discouragement. First of all, I want us to think about the timing of discouragement. Discouragement usually comes at different times. Let me give you a few thoughts about the timing of discouragement. We need to recognize when discouragement most often comes. Many times discouragement will come, often many times, right after a long struggle. You've been in a long struggle with something, and for instance, let's just take, I'm preaching on Elijah right here. After a long struggle, 3.5 years he battled with King Ahab. I mean, he said, you're serving idols and you're turning our country away from God, and there's not going to be rain for 3.5 years. And boy, that didn't go over too good because they got no rain and a famine. And man, he had to hide out because Ahab wanted to kill him. And you read about in chapter 17 how he drank the water from the brook Cherith, and ravens came and gave him bread, and he met a widow lady, and she remembered from the oil in the barrel. How many remember that? And I mean, for 3.5 years, Elijah struggled with the battle and the cause for to bring that his country back to God. And now it's culminated in chapter 18. He returns to face off with Elijah. I mean, with Ahab and the 450 prophets of Baal. And that was a long, hard struggle before that day came. Now, most things that are right and good, they do not come easily or quickly. You that are older, you know most things that are good and right, they don't come real quickly. Things that you really want, you have to work for. You have to wait for. Hello? Not many things that are right and good, they do not come easily and they do not come quickly. And here's when discouragement comes in. When we don't see immediate results, we begin to feel like our efforts have been wasted. I felt discouraged many times over the land because I haven't got the money to buy. I say, Lord, what, you know, you've told me. How many have ever been discouraged about different things? But yet I know that's what God told me, and I'm staying with what God told me. I'm not going to go in debt for that land. I know God. How many believe God can do that? He can. But we can get discouraged, and I think all of us have over different things in our life. Boy, we see things and we want things to happen, they don't happen, and we know we're doing right, but yet things aren't going like we want them to. We get discouraged, and old Satan comes and whispers. He says, what's the use of going on? Just throw in the towel. Give up. How many of you ever know? Why not just give up? What's the use of even going forward? Nothing's going to happen anyways. Can anyone say amen? Know what I'm talking about? And so after long struggles, many times discouragement comes in. Discouragement number two, they will come in right after a great victory. Boy, that's the truth too. You get some great victories in your life, watch out. Discouragement will come in right after a great victory. You see in chapter 18, he had a great victory. We read the first 4 verses, you get the first 2. Bobby, in the end of chapter 18, he's got victory. Revivals, Israel's got revived. The Bible says there's abundance of rain. That's not just talking about rain. It's talking about people. The Lord is God. He brought a whole nation back to God. That was a national revival. Amen? After that great victory, we read in chapter 18, we read, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Woo! We're only 1 verse away from the victory. And man, she says, I'm going to kill you, buddy. Man, all right. He goes from the mountaintop to the valley, just like that. Right after a great victory, we face discouragement. When you look at Elijah in chapter 18 and his great victory, and now in chapter 19, he's running for his life. I mean, he's actually running from his life. Look at that verse. What's that, verse 3? And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Man, this guy's, man, I got to get out of here. She's going to kill me. Hello? Man, he just had victory three verses ago. Man. Right after, he just had a victory. Wow. I'm going to give some thought for this. Did you ever notice? He went from the mountaintop to the lowest valley. Did you ever notice something? Did you ever notice we can't stay on the mountaintop very long? We can't stay on the mountaintop very long. It's hard to stay on top of that mountain. It's hard to be happy and excited all the time, isn't it? Can anyone say amen? There's usually a natural letdown after great success. Watch out. Many times discouragement falls right after great victories. It does. Get this. One reason for this, you that know about church building, one reason for this is you get success. When you get, say like we push for a big day. Bob and June, you've been in some big days down in New Milford. And what happens when we push for a big day, Brother Rod? We work. We extend ourselves. How many are with me? One reason for this after the discouragement after great success is that we push ourselves, we get physically and mentally exhausted because we push to get that victory. Usually after a big day, like a church will have, like say we'll hit 400 or 500 on a big day. Did you ever notice the next, it's usually half, or even that Sunday night, there's a letdown. Why is that? Because people push so hard to get people for that one big moment. You only stand that mountaintop for, when we come back, we have 400 in the morning, and we'll come back and we'll have 55 Sunday night and say, wow, what a letdown. Hello? And you feel, man, you just feel like you're whipped and everyone's tired. Say, oh, I just want to go home. I'm exhausted. After great victories, that's usually what happens. You get discouragement because your body's physically exhausted. And famed football coach Vince Lombardi said fatigue, he was one of the greatest football coaches there ever was. Fatigue makes cowards of us all. When you're wore out, it's hard to be strong and brave. Jesus gave us this truth in Mark 6:31. Just let me read it to you. He told the disciples in Mark 6:31, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. A lot of times Christians, you wonder, boy, what happened to him? Boy, he was a burning of fire. That's the trouble. He burned himself out and he didn't take time to rest and recoup. And many times we as Christians got to watch out because we'll push, and we'll get the victory. And then as soon as we get that great those great goals that we're hitting that we want, and then we'll get discouraged because we're so worn out. You know what? We're gonna when the Lord gives us this money for the build. Did you know most preachers that build new buildings? You're gonna have to really pray for me. It's not the most, and every preacher, and you know I'm talking about, most preachers that build new buildings, after they're built, great discouragement sets in. It's unbelievable. Because people are pushing, all of a sudden, there's a letdown. How many are still with me? And I know a lot of preachers that built churches, and then they left. Don't worry, I'm not leaving. They're going to carry me out. You ain't getting rid of me that easy. Just bear me out there in that land. Amen? And so, but what I'm trying to get across to you is this. Sometimes sometimes we have discouragement because we work so hard to get those successes that our body gets worn, and then all of a sudden we soon get discouraged afterwards. They gave a great illustration. This Scottish preacher, Robert McChenney, he said this. He died when he was only 30 years old. Before he died, he was only 30 years old. On his deathbed, he told a friend, "God gave me a message to deliver and a horse to ride. And now I've killed the horse and cannot deliver the message." And you know what? As I got older, I've learned something. It's more important for me to get the message out than try to get it all at one time. Sometimes you've got to rest. How many of you are listening to me? Sometimes, here's a guy that I'm going to be watching Bobby. Not be holding him down, but I've got to watch your daddy because he'll go and go and go and go and go. He's like that little pink energized bunny, man. His battery never goes, he never wears out. And his preacher tried to encourage him not to take any more a lot big meetings. Now I'm going to be his pastor. I'm going to have to watch to make sure he don't. I'm going to make him not take meetings, but I'm going to try to make sure he only takes a few ones close to his home, that he's not traveling all over the country, because Bobby, we don't want that to happen to you. Amen. And we're going to keep him busy around here too. So we'll keep him around here, and him and June will be active here. And he's not out to the pasture. He's here to work. Amen. But I just got to make sure he doesn't get blown out. I don't want him to burn himself. I don't want him to kill the horse. Amen. So we have to remember those things. Let me just give you some tools of discouragement. First of all, there's attacks. You can get discouraged when people attack you. A lot of times people attack us over different things in our life. And those attacks can bring discouragement. When you read 19:2, Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." She made a threat. "I'm going to kill you, Elijah." Do you see that in verse 2? Let me ask you something. What did Jezebel actually do to try to kill Elijah? She gave that threat. But what did she actually do to back up that threat? You're right. Nothing. That was just an idle threat. That was an empty threat, but Elijah fell for it. Elijah just killed 450 prophets of Baal. The people were all behind Elijah, trust me. Had she even tried to do something to Elijah, she would have been dead meat, man. He wasn't thinking. But see, sometimes we don't think. Are you listening to the preacher tonight? I'm talking about discouragement. How discouragement comes to our life. Sometimes we're tired. Sometimes we get discouraged because of idle threats. And by the way, if she wanted to kill Elijah, really? You think she would have gave him warning, Eddie? I don't think so. I don't think she's going to warn him so he can get on, run away, hide. No, he's already been hiding for 3.5 years. No, she would have got him subtly. So that was an idle threat. She made an idle threat, and Elijah fell for it. And I'm trying to work on a thought here for you. Threats are designed to intimidate us. And if we believe them, they only work if we let them. The only time idle threats work is if we let them work. Let me give you some examples about idle threats. Children make idle threats all the time. "If you don't let me do this, Mom or Dad, I'm leaving. I'm going to run away from the house." How many remember those when we were kids? If I can't stay all night at Billy's, I'm running away. The best thing you can do, I know we have an older group, but there are some younger ones in here. Someone gives you an idle, Sydney or little baby Wade says, "I'm going to run away," go get a suitcase. "Say, here, I'll help you pack. You go right now." Call those idle threats. If I noted this, parents, Don't let those idle threats from your children get you discouraged. If you give people what they want when they use that club of intimidation, they will constantly threaten you and you will constantly be discouraged. Don't give in to their threats. Don't pay the ransom. You'll only be the one discouraged. That's why when these hijackers they try to get ransom. You can't pay the ransom. They'll always be doing it. So discouragement comes. It came to Elijah. He had an idle threat, but Johnny, he believed it. And because he believed that idle threat, discouragement came. Another tool of discouragement is not only idle threats, attacks, but here's another one, a tool of discouragement, alienation. You're going to relate to this one. Every one of you, including myself, is going to relate to this. How many of you have ever been discouraged and depressed? Watch what Elijah does. He does just what you and I do. Alienation. Look at 1 Kings 19:3. And when he saw, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. How many see that? What'd he do? He got off by himself. He left his good friend. He left the one that could encourage him away from him. He went into isolation. He alienated himself between him and the people. Do you ever notice when people get discouraged? They don't want no one around them. When you're discouraged, you don't want no one. But by the way, when you're that discouraged, you need someone around you. I don't want to hear from them. I don't want to talk to them. You'll run in a room. You'll turn the lights off. You'll pull the shades down. Most of you will sit in dark places. How many are still with me? Am I hitting home with anybody? I know what I'm talking about. When you get discouraged and depressed, you try to get away from everyone and every place, and you just want to be in a solitude. You want to just be somewhere where no one can talk to you.
Leave me alone, preacher. I want to have a pity party.
Are you with me? Elijah, he left his servant in Beersheba, and he went on alone. When Elijah most was discouraged, who was with him to try to encourage him? No one. Discouraged people often get off by themselves. They separate themselves from the ones who could help them. When you get discouraged, stay with your friends. When you get discouraged, stay with your friends. There is safety in numbers. I thought of a scripture, Bob. I have a channel 55, and I watch it's an animal show. They show animals on there, and they show those lions for prey. And boy, John, they don't pick on the real healthy ones, and they try to separate the weak and the small and the. Are you with me? And the ones that are off by themselves. Because, see, just like Satan, the Bible says in Peter 5:8, he says he's a roaring lion seeking about who he may devour. When we're off by ourselves, we're easy prey. Satan loves to, now I know you can't lose your salvation, but he sure can discourage your life. And we need to be careful. When we get discouraged, don't go off by yourself. Fight that discouragement and stay with your friends. Let your friends be with you. They can encourage you. Those who are alone are easy prey. Attacks can bring discouragement. Alienation can bring discouragement. Boy, that's you. If that's one thing I've known in my ministry, I can tell when people are discouraged. I can tell when I'm discouraged because I don't want to talk to you. I turn the light. How many know what I'm talking about? Man, I just want to be off by myself. I don't want to hear nobody. Listen, don't talk to me. How many are still like that? No, how many know where I'm coming from? Elijah, same way, Jack. Left the servant, they said, you stay here. I'm going out in the desert where no one can bother me. Where I'll be alone. Hello? Anybody home? Attacks can bring discouragement. Alienation can bring discouragement. And lastly, anguish can bring discouragement. If you look at 1 Kings 19:4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die. Oh God, I just wish I would die. Some of us have been there. If you'd be honest, Elijah felt sorry for himself, and he was having a pity party. That's why people get off by themselves. The reason you don't want no one around, you just want to have a pity party. That's what I do. I want to have a pity party. Rosie, don't talk to me, Rosie. I'm having a pity party right now, and there's three right now, me, myself, and I, and I don't want one more person. Because I know Rosie, Sandy, I know Rosie will tell me something that makes sense, and I won't be able to have my pity party. She'll wreck the party. Because you girls are always right. I hate it, you girls are always right. It's ridiculous to be right that much. Betty, can't you girls ever mess up once in a while so us guys can say, ha-ha, you messed up? No, they're always right. Sean, they're right. I'm telling you, they're right. You know what? Just leave me alone. I want to stay here and sulk and pout. How many know what I'm saying right now? We sulk and we pout and we have pity parties and we don't want no one to talk to us and try to talk us out of it, because you know what? We want to have a pity party. We want to sulk and have that little pout that we feel like doing. And you know what, though? And we keep reminiscing what's wrong, and we enlarge it. And but Billy, we overestimate the significance of the problem. We think we are the only one serving God sometimes. I want you to see something. Look what Elijah said in verse 14 there. God, I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. God, you ought not be mad at me. You're lucky. I'm serving you. I've got a right to be pity party right now. I'm the only one serving you. Everybody else is hogwash. I'm going to give you a real truth here. Don't leave me. In verse 18, God said to Elijah, hey, Elijah, verse 18, I got news for you. You better get a grip. Hey, Elijah, get a grip. I've got 7,000 people having bowed to Baal. You're not the only one. Look up here. Sometimes we think we're the only ones doing a job for God. We're not. Even though we think it, the world might look like it's dim and dark and there's no one else in the battle, God's got other people in the battle. There's other ones. And God said, Elijah, Elijah, you're not the only one. I've got 7,000 guys right now that haven't bowed down to Baal. You're not the only one that's got the crusader for me. So get rid of your pity party. Now get this truth. What a great truth I'm going to give to you now. Look what God does to help Elijah. In verse 5, and I'm almost done, he gives him food. In verse 5, he sends an angel. Look at that verse 5. And he laid and slept under a juniper tree. Behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. God gave him rest and he gave him food. When you get discouraged, get a little rest because you're tired, and get a little food. Strengthen your body. How many are still with me yet? But I really like this. Notice what God says in verse 9 and verse 13. And this is the whole thing and I'm done. Look at verse 9 and 13. God says to ask two questions, the same questions, two times to Elijah. In verse 9, at the latter part of verse 9, he said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Hey, Elijah, why are you here? Elijah, what are you doing? That's what he asked him there in verse 9. Then Elijah comes back with a pity party. Oh, well, I think people hate me. They're trying to kill me. He's just going on. And then God goes on again in verse 13. And by the way, Elijah gave the same lame answer again. But God says in verse 13, what doest thou here, Elijah? There's a great truth here. I want you to get it. Both times Elijah was asked, why are you here? And both times Elijah gave a self-pity. When we replay problems over and over, they get worse. We get negative thinking, negative attitudes, and then our thinking is defeated, and we will not listen to counsel and encouragement, and don't want to talk to anyone or even listen to God. And God says to Elijah the second time, what you doing here, Elijah? What you doing here? Get this, I'm all done. What a truth. God wanted Elijah to see what he was doing. He was fretting, he was fussing, and he was feeling sorry for himself. Write this thing down if you got a paper. This is a great thing to write down. The best question to ask a discouraged person is this. The best question to ask a discouraged person, what are you doing for the cause of Christ? If you find someone that's discouraged, you ask them this question. What are you doing for the cause of Christ? That's what God was trying to get with Elijah. Hey, Elijah, what are you doing here? You're not serving me. Hey, Elijah, you're supposed to be serving. Remember, Ephesians 2:10 says that we're created in Christ, is created under good works for his glory. I'm created for one reason, to serve God. I'm going to read it to you. Don't leave Kings. Ephesians 2:10. I got one purpose in life, and that's to serve God. My main purpose. For we are, in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God had before ordained, that we should walk in them. He said, hey, Elijah, you were serving me, and all of a sudden now, you're out in the desert, you're running away from Jezebel, you're running in fear instead of walking in faith. Hey, Elijah, instead of serving me, now you're serving yourself. Hey, Elijah, now, instead of bringing glory to me, now you got self-pity. Where are you standing, Elijah? Elijah, where are you at? Oh, I love that. Elijah, what doest thou here? Hey, Elijah, what are you doing here in this desert? Why are you out by yourself? Hey, what doest thou here, Elijah? Two's the number of witness. Two times God asked him that. And I note this. Hey, Elijah, get back to serving me. God was saying, Elijah, get back to serving me. When you serve me, you're not discouraged. Elijah, the moment you stop serving me, that's when you got discouraged. Elijah, you get back to serving me, some of this discouragement will be gone. Are you still with me? When you get discouraged, stop and ask yourself, did God lead me into this place? When you get discouraged, stop and ask yourself, did God lead me into this place? That's a good question for us. Because you'll probably be in a place where God didn't put you. You'll be away from people that God wants you to be in with. Because normally, when we get discouraged, we leave our friends, we leave our family, we leave our church. We leave off Bible reading. We leave off prayer. All the things that we need for our essentials in our life, we leave that off. We leave off serve. When we get discouraged, not many people that are discouraged serve God. Right or wrong. And so when I get discouraged, when you get discouraged, we go to a place, and that's where Elijah went. He went to a place where God didn't take him. And God kept saying, hey, Elijah, why are you in? Elijah, look where you're at. Elijah, look where you're at. You're in self-pity and you're on the desert. You're away from everything. You're not even in the service of God no more. You just had a national Elijah, just a day ago or so, there was a national revival in Israel. Remember, I sent down fire. People got down and said, the Lord is God. You killed 450 prophets of Baal. Man, Elijah, look where you were just a few days ago when you were in the place that I wanted you. And now look where you are now, Elijah. Elijah, where are you at? Just look where you're at, the place you're at, Elijah. And God was trying to get him, hey, did you put yourself in that place or did I? Well, if you're being honest with you, God didn't put him there. He put himself there. Amen? And that's where discouragement will do. Discouragement will put us in a place where God does not want us to be. And so, when you're discouraged, stop and ask yourself, did God lead me to this place? Because you're out of position. Because our position should not be pity. It should be praise. Our position should not be worry. It should be work. And our position should not be fear. Our position should be faith. Amen? Elijah, what are you doing? Elijah, where are you at? Why are you here? What doest thou here, Elijah? Man, you sure got off the track, pal. And I know how you got. You let that old Jezebel, Hillary Clinton, get you off. But I had fun when they were in there. I had a lot of fun when they were in there. I hated it all the time they were there, but I had fun with her. Get my tape. Who voted for Bill Clinton? You'll love that. That'll go down in history. One of the greatest messages ever preached. Who voted for Bill Clinton? I got a message. Who voted for Bill Clinton? Even if you voted for him, you ought to listen to that tape. It's a tremendous message. And people called the seconds after that thing aired. Man, people were calling my house and the church, and they were praising God for it. That message, truck drivers were writing in, can you send a copy to my home in Pennsylvania or Virginia and different places. That tape went all over America. It used to be on the radio, half hour every Sunday morning. And one Sunday morning, I was so irritated that Bill Clinton got elected, I just let it fly. Remember that, Eddie? We never got sued, did we, Ed? Yeah, that's another one. That's another message. I did preach that message, but that's a different. I've got that message too. The day the nation went to dogs, but I also got a message. Who voted for Bill Clinton? He gave me a few messages, and I'll be glad when Jesus comes back. Amen. Watch out for discouragement, boy. And if it does, think about some of these thoughts. Where are you at? Are you in the place, Elijah, where I put you? Or are you? Is this discouragement? Is this where you put me? Put you or I put you? Oh, God. I put me here. I need to get back where you want me, the place you want me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for the time we've had. Help us overcome this and defeat discouragement. I know discouragement can come in many ways and many different applications right after we struggle. Right after victories, after attacks, after alienations. Lord, I know that the discouragement comes in many forms and many different ways. But Father, help us. Help us as we think about discouragement to remember what place we're at. Help us to ask that question, God, am I in a place where you want me to be? Lord, help us. Those who are in discouragement now, I pray you'll help take them out of discouragement. Help those that are discouraged even tonight, that they would lift their heart up. Help them not to walk in fear, but to walk in faith. And help them to look to you, Father, to give them the victories. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many would say, preacher, I'll be honest with you, lately I have been discouraged. Yes. Pray for me. I've been, yes. Pray, yes, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I see that. God bless you, sir. Pray, yes, ma'am, I see that. Preacher, I've been discouraged. I'm not going to lie to you. I have been going through some discouragement. I ask, ma'am, I see it. Lord, help these folks. There was many people on both sides who wouldn't be discouraged in the time that we live. Father, I pray that you'd help them in their discouragement. Help them to recognize where it came from and how to get out of it. Give them victory, Father. Lord, I know we can't always be on the mountaintop, but we don't have to be in the valley either. Lord, please help us in these times of discouragement. Help us just to stop and ask that question. Lord, is this where you want, is this the place you want me in? I pray these things in Christ. And Lord, help those tonight. And Lord, I just pray with all my heart that you'd bless all the efforts that we do now in the coming days to reach lost. And Lord, give us the money to build our new building. Oh God, I would love to see a new sanctuary go up out there in Infirmary Road, Father, please. Show your mighty hand, I pray. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse.